May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Disciple of Jesus, but a secret one, for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate granted permission. He came therefore and took away his body. And Nicodemus came also, who had first come to him by night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and alloys about 100 pounds weight. So they took the body of Jesus, and they bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a tomb, in which no one had ever yet been laid. And therefore an account of the Jewish day of preparation, the Passover, was about to begin. Because the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. And so the scenario is that Joseph Arimathea came to ask for his body, and he, along with Nicodemus, his famous teacher, they either already owned or purchased a tomb really close to where the crucifixion occurred. And the crucifixion occurred in a public place where people were crucified. But there was a tomb there, and that tomb had never been used because there wasn't time to go find a tomb farther away, because they had to have Jesus buried because of Jewish custom before sundown, because the new day, Passover, would begin at sundown. And this tomb, so the scene is, there's this crucifixion scene. Scripture talks about that Jesus was crucified. His crucifixion happened, like he said, he's a stone which the builders rejected. If you go to Israel and you'll see in Jerusalem, it's a stone that's been cracked. Therefore, they couldn't use it to build things. It was a stone that was worthless. And so they would wedge the cross across in the midst of that stone. There were two other crosses. It wasn't like they buried it in a deep place of dirt, but you don't really find that much in Jerusalem. But it stood before a garden. And then there were some tombs around it. If you go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, what you see in Jerusalem is you have this big stone, which is the place where the crucifixion occurred. But right in front of it, just on the other side of it, there is the tomb, which was the Holy Sepulchre where Christ was supposedly buried. Now, it's a tomb that's never been used before. So I'm going to give you a really devotional word, very devotional word, but hopefully God will minister to you in just the things that are said here. Jesus said that we're all going to take up our cross and follow him. It says in Luke chapter 2, I think it's Luke chapter 2, that the Christian life, one of the great principles of the kingdom, is not an up and down life, it's a down and up life. That we always accelerate in our growth in the Lord by our crucifixion. And crucifixion are those places that God puts you in that back you in a corner or deal with you that are difficult, that you don't understand. There's some season, some circumstance, and we all go through that in this fallen world. And those become places of crucifixion, places where we take up our cross and follow him. And if you're not in one of those places today, you'll be there tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. Just some place where you feel cornered or some place that's confusing or painful. Now, in that place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And gardens in Scripture always speak of fellowship. I don't know about you, but in those times in my life when God's allowed me to go to the cross in a new way in something that was, again, confusing or difficult or painful or whatever, that in that place, it was always the deepest fellowship that took place with him. When you go back and you look at the seven words of Christ, his dialogue with his Father was intense. It was amazing, the conversation they had while Jesus was on the cross in the context of this garden. When I go through places of crucifixion, that's always the place in my heart where I seek the Lord the most profoundly, because it's there I feel so needy. And I'm reminded of how desperate and utterly dependent I am on him. It's where God reinforces that whole principle, blessed are the poor in spirit, the desperate, the needy. For theirs is the kingdom of God. And so my growth in the Lord, Watchman Nee said, we never advance apart through adversity. That's just the way God uses it in our fallenness. Now, you can advance just by learning and seeking, but the acceleration in adversity is amazing. Crucifixion accelerates the process. And so it's always in that place where I find myself in the garden, just desperately crying out to God. And it's always the place of greatest revelation too. But the thing that'll hold me there, the thing that causes me to stand there, to walk in faith, the same thing that caused Jesus to walk in faith, Jesus said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. That means a lot of things, but when you think about it historically, what was set before him? Again, if you go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, what was set before Jesus was this tomb. From the cross, the tomb was right in front of him. I don't know how many yards, 50 yards, 70 yards, but right in front of him. And it was a tomb that nobody had ever used before. You see, one of the things I discover is that every time I go through a place of crucifixion, there's something new in my life that God wants to bury so that he can bring forth something new in resurrection. And there's always new things God wants to put to death and bury. So it's a new tomb. But I believe part the joy set before him, at least part of that was, he could see. He had insight from the Father's heart. He could see what was in front of him. He could see the harvest. He knew resurrection was going to come out of that place. He could see the empty tomb because there was no stone rolled in front of it at that point. He could see the end game was going to be resurrection. Anytime you and I go through crucifixion, it's because God wants to draw us into a garden of fellowship. He wants to lay something new into a new tomb that he wants to bury that's been holding us back. But he wants to bring forth a great harvest, something new, new life in us. And if we set our focus on the new life, we may not understand what it's all about. We may not have insight into what exactly he wants to do. But I can tell you this, if you can set your face on the joy set before you, Lord, all I know is this. Something new that's full of life and resurrection is going to come forth out of this. And therefore, I can endure this. I can look at this and despise this because I'm looking for that, the joy set before him. I mean, new life, new resurrection, new things in me, new creation coming forth. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.